Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 14, Three Modes of Material Nature, text number 11. Sarva dvareshu dehesmin prakashu pajayate jnanam yada tatha vidya viridam sattvam ityuta. Sarva dvareshu, in all the gates, dehe asmin, in this Bali, prakasha, the quality of illumination, upajayate, develops, jnanam, knowledge, yada, when, tada, at that time, vidyat, no, viridam, increase, sattvam, the mode of goodness, iti uta, thus it is said. The manifestation of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. Purport. There are nine gates in the body, two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, the mouth, the genitals, and the anus. When every gate is illuminated by the symptoms of goodness, it should be understood that one has developed a mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, one can see things in the right position, he can hear things in the right position, and one can taste things in the right position. One becomes cleansed inside and outside. In every gate, there is a development of the symptoms of happiness, and that is a position of goodness. So Krishna will say later on in the Bhagavad Gita, Nanyam gunebhyas kartaram drashta eva nupashati gunebhyas cha prambeti madbhavam sodigachati. When you can actually see that there is nothing beyond the three modes of material nature and all activities, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to them, then you could know my spiritual nature. So Krishna is trying to give us some vision so we can understand when we're in goodness, when we're in passion, when we're in ignorance, and when we're transcendental. If we don't know where we are, then we're in ignorance. Easy. Ignorance, we don't know anything. In passion, we speculate. We have some idea. It's not very clear. And in goodness, it's becoming clear to the point of transcendence where we see everything properly, hear everything properly, taste everything properly. That is, we understand what it actually is in relation to Krishna. Prakasham cha pravitim cha. Prakasham cha nirittim cha moham eva cha pandava didvaishti sampratitani ninivritani kangshiti udasinadvar asino gunayo vavichal chatite gunavartanti ityevam yovatishtite nengate samadukha sakasvasta samalostrasma kangshina tulya priya priya udiras tilya nandatna samsiti manapamanayo tulyas tilya Uchite. One who doesn't hate illumination or prakasham cha nivritim cha or aversion, prakasham cha nivritim cha nivritani kangshite, or attachment when they're present, no longs for them when they're absent, who is unperturbed. It's unattached by association with the Bhagavad Gita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, one, he who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they are present, or longs for them when they disappear, was unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal towards the desirable and undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. So this equality is possible when we don't identify ourselves with any of the modes. Not that now I'm peaceful, everything's going my way, everything's good. Yes, it appears to be good, but it's not going to perhaps last that long. Because the modes of material nature, we heard in the previous verse, verse 10, they're always changing. So one moment we think everything is fine, everything is exactly the way I like it, and then an earthquake hits, and we don't have anything. And it's certainly not arranged the way we'd like it. Therefore, one has to come to another platform of perception, that is Krishna consciousness. Now, in Krishna consciousness, one can remember Krishna. And when we can remember Krishna, then we can also, as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Gyanena tu tadagyanam, tesham, Gyanena tu tadagyanam, yesham nashtam atmanaha, tesham aditi vajyanam, prakashiti tatparam. One, however, one's enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, and his knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So when we actually start remembering Krishna, Krishna with the flute and a peacock feather, the son of Mother Jasoda, etc., etc., then in the presence of Krishna, we start seeing things properly because, as it says, right now we don't see things properly because we're covered by kama and krodha and asha and loba, moha, and matsala, by lust, anger, greed, enviousness, madness, and delusion. Some nice coverings. Strawberry, vanilla, chocolate. So we're covered by these things. That's why we have all our problems. We think the problem is so many other people out there, they have problems, they're causing me problems. But actually, our only problem is that we're covered by these things. And therefore we see friends and enemies, heat and cold, happiness and distress, etc. We're affected by these things. We think it's happening to me. Just like we go to a movie and the hero is in trouble. So then we get nervous. And maybe I'm going to get slain by the dragon. I'll have to fight real hard in this movie. But actually, we're not in that scene. The dragon's not attacking us. It's our minds that are attacking us. But we may feel ourselves as much trouble as the person who's supposedly being attacked by the dragon in the movie. Because after all, when we're dreaming at night, it could be a very bad dream. Things may happen to us that we may not like to happen to us in the dream. And then, of course, we wake up and we have our night dream and we have our daydream. So we wake up to our daydream and we think this is real and our night dream was just a dream. But when we actually wake up, then we'll see that this is also a dream. The only difference between the daydream and the night dream is that the night dream lasts usually a shorter amount of time than the daydream. So therefore, we think this is real, and the night dream was unreal. But they're actually both temporary. They're real in the fact that we're experiencing it, but it's not real in the sense that it's not really happening to us. We're simply experiencing it, just like a dream. So in the mode of goodness, one is able to understand that because one is relatively purified from the dream. As Krishna says, Dume na vriyate varnir, just like this fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by the womb, or the mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, So similarly, the living entity is covered by the different degrees of lust. So it's Krishna's energy that's covering us, and we just can't walk out of it and say, well, I don't like this covering, or take a duster and dust off the lust. Oh, that's like a windshield wiper, you know. Now I can see everything. No, it has a purification. And there may be an indirect method of purification by austerity, philosophical cultivation, etc., fasting and austerity and philosophical cultivation, trying to see things as Brahman. But ultimately, only by Krishna consciousness can we actually understand things properly, completely properly. We may come in the mode of goodness, through austerity, whatever, and see things differently, that everyone is Krishna's. Everyone is eternal. We're all spiritual beings. We're different from the material nature. But that doesn't disclose to us who we actually are. It's one thing to find out who we're not. After all, if you had a dream, you thought you were Frankenstein, it wouldn't be very pleasant. Especially if someone is trying to put a stake, or Dracula, for instance. Say you had a dream, you were Dracula, and someone had a stake, they're trying to put it through your heart, it would be rather unpleasant. But if you woke up, you found out that actually you weren't Dracula, you would actually have a great relief. Isn't that right, Nitya Seva, if you knew you were in Dracula? So similarly, we wake up, we find out we're not this body, it's a relief, but that doesn't mean that we know who we are. So the danger is we can go back to sleep, and it's better thinking ourselves to be Dracula than we think we're Frankenstein. There's not much progress. So the idea is to wake up to our actual identity. And then when we find out who we are, then we won't go back, then we won't be asleep anymore. As soon as we find out who we are, then we won't want to take on another false identity. Because we're not consciously creating our next identity. We're just doing the things that were created, that's all. We don't want to become a bunny rabbit necessarily in our next lifetime. Although sometimes people claim that they'd like to become a bunny rabbit. But I don't think most people will actually, if they had a choice, you know, the material nature shows us a wardrobe. I'll take the bunny rabbit one. I like that tail, the one with the fluffy tail. No, we wouldn't like to become a bunny rabbit, especially people would be coming after our foot for good luck. Hey, watch out. That's my foot. Hey, it's a lucky foot. They have that here, that rabbit's foot is lucky. Do they have that here? Rabbit's feet are lucky. Such a movies. They don't have that in Romania, the rabbit's foot is lucky. They have that in Slovenia. If you have a rabbit's foot, it's lucky. Because the rabbit that gave its foot is not very lucky. In any case, the idea is that we should wake up, and once we wake up to our actual identity, then all our problems are solved. And in order to do that, there's a process. It's not like you just get out of bed one day and you're awake. No, there's a process. The simple process of chanting Hare Krishna, especially in this age, and trying to learn how to do it. Because it's not so easy just to chant Hare Krishna. It's an easy process. Anyone can do it. But to do it in such a way as to make genuine spiritual progress takes some training. So therefore, all the books, all the philosophy, all our activities, or so one day we can actually ask Krishna and Srimati Radharani and really mean it, that we'd like to engage in their loving service, to actually find out what it means, to experience what it means, and therefore become more and more sincere when we're asking them and develop the desire to actually want to engage in their loving service. Which means we would be no more interested or less and less interested in other kinds of service. So that takes a while to cultivate. Luckily, we're eternal, So we have a while, we have some time to cultivate it. Of course, we shouldn't take too long. After all, we're in Kali Yuga. And in only 427,000 years, little people will go around looking for devotees, especially for the Sunday feast. Oh, I got a nice little devotee for the Sunday feast. We'll make pakoras out of them. No, we should try to get out of the material nature. Well, we should try to become Krishna conscious, that's all. Whatever, all the horrors of material nature, all the problems, they're just meant to encourage us to chant more sincerely, that's all. Because as soon as we understand what the material nature is, then naturally we'll want to take shelter of the spiritual nature. And if we take shelter of the material spiritual nature, that's the perfection of the material nature. That's why the material nature is harassing us. Not because it likes it to harass us, but just to encourage us to take shelter of Krishna, that's all. And the more we do that, then the more goodness is there, the more we realize how Krishna consciousness is so valuable and how material nature in comparison is insignificant. That's called goodness. One time one devotee asked Prabhupada, what is the happiness like in goodness? And Prabhupada said, if you think you're happy in goodness, then you're in ignorance. Because there's no real happiness in goodness. Just like if you have your finger, how many times a day do you look at your finger and think about how happy it makes you? Oh, my finger, I can't believe it. It gives me such joy. But if someone takes a hanger and smashes your finger, how much pain can he give you? And then when the pain goes away, then you say you're happy. You weren't happy when the pain wasn't there. But when the pain is there, then you say, now I'm in pain. And when the pain goes away, then you say, now I'm happy. I feel so good. My finger feels so good. Doesn't feel good. Just doesn't feel in pain. So the material nature of happiness means the lack of misery. The lack of ignorance means the lack of misconception. At least one knows I'm eternal. Because we can hear that in class all day long. I'm eternal. And it makes sense. And then we walk out of here and we suddenly become a body again. So the difference is when we realize we're eternal, then we don't become a body anymore. And therefore, we're free from all our problems eternally. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments?
Thank you for the inspirative lecture. Sometime, yeah, more than last time we are talking about the gunas of ignorance, passion and sattvic.
Polygensa. So. Trust me, it's terrible, or fear.
Yeah, ignorance, you said you know how it, and yeah, she's interesting in how to deal with the passion.
How to deal with passion? Use it in Krishna service. Pulse of it. So we want to use things in Krishna. Passion means we have energy. That we have a lot of energy. We want to run around. So we should run around for Krishna and do things for Krishna. Just like Arjuna was very passionate, but he fought and killed people for Krishna. Because we don't want to do that. But we're not that passionate. But we should when we do, we need passion for service. If you were just in goodness and everything was fine, you'd just sit there and chant all day long. But then the deities wouldn't get any prasadam. So then we have some energy, we use it for Krishna, that's all. It's not our energy, it's the mode of passion. In material life, mode of passion means hankering and an attachment. So in spiritual life, it means hankering for Krishna, an attachment to things in relationship to Krishna. So we just add Krishna to it and become spiritual, the mode of passion. Otherwise, Arjuna wasn't sitting there meditating all day long. He was fighting. So that requires some energy, some passion. But he was doing it for Krishna, therefore it was transcendental. Anything else? Hvala, Granta Raya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.